Welcome to the Awareness Space podcast. This is a mental and an emotional health podcast. Our first show is a podcast that dives into topics brought to us by our listeners, a Q&A show featuring special guest hosts. Our second show is centered around self-awareness exploration. Owen talks to you, the listener, so you can explore your experience of life. Owen will cover a variety of topics and themes. Send us your questions via Instagram by commenting on the latest post, or contact me via our website. Now let's head over for today's episode. Welcome back, everybody, to the Awareness Space podcast Q&A show. And we're here with episode 4 of my guest host series. I'm doing some solo episodes. I hope you've been enjoying those. But the best bit is sitting down with friends from the industry and just diving deep into the amazing questions that you send us. So today I've got a very special man coming on, Nicholas Murray. We've been friends for a little while. We've done some work together too. And it's been quite the journey to see him doing all of these podcasts and returning today as what I'm imagining is going to be a podcast pro. Welcome to the show, Nicholas.
Certainly not a pro yet. Trying to be, though. Couple more years.
Yeah, well, I have to say, the Mind Muscle Pro stuff you're doing, the video content you're putting out there, the video quality, the production value, absolutely mind-blowing. Whoever you've got involved in it with you is doing an amazing job to support you and just delivering an amazing thing. So just tell us where you are in the world and what you're doing with Mind Muscle Pro.
I'm in Tampa, Florida, in the United States. Basically, Mind Muscle Pro, thank you very much, by the way. The cool thing, and I keep telling people this, is the universe just seems to be connecting me with the right people that have been so helpful, and the production value and the guests, especially with the message, have been amazing. But I host a project called Mind Muscle Pro that involves interviewing businesses and individuals that have found some alternative methods to combat mental health issues like depression and anxiety.
Yeah, I encourage people to go and check it out, because the way you approach it, it's and the kind of people speaking to is a little bit different. It's not so generic to a lot of the mental health platforms out there. So I think some of the content you like, I think that the one I saw the other day, we were on the beach and stuff, was really, really cool. So it's
That guy's awesome, man. That guy's so awesome.
Yeah, it's so, so good. So please, everyone, check it out. There's a link in the description for Mind Muscle Pro to find out a lot more about Nicholas's work. But as we know, we're here today to dive into some of the questions from the audience. We've got 3 amazing questions today. And the first one I thought was really interesting, is I think both of us can resonate with this first one. So the question was, I feel addicted to my work and I just don't make time for other things. How can I make a change? Would you agree that we both have experience of this?
As soon as you started reading it, I giggled a bit. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
But I try and tailor these questions to the questions that I get. I basically pick the guest host that I think would be able to answer the question the best. So as soon as I saw that one, I was like, that's on Nicholas's show. So we'll start with you, kind of like, how have you worked around? Because you've got so many things, so many plates spinning. You're doing some amazing work in slightly different industries and fitting in Mind Muscle Pro. So how have you dealt with kind of having this work life, having a need to make it work and be successful, but also remembering that you're a human being that has needs and deserves love and friendship? And how have you gone about that for people in the same spot?
One of the ways, honestly, is eliminating some of my regular jobs. I mean, I've worked less hours to pursue something that I'm passionate about, and I've budgeted better, you know, because I'm fulfilled by what I do. So if changing my lifestyle a bit temporarily needs to happen, I've made that happen. Also, this is so important, and I've been lucky because I have people remind me of this. If we don't make time for leisure and friends and you know, some relaxation and time for ourselves as well, we're not as productive doing the things that we love. Like I've gotten so obsessed with like making something that people resonate with and connecting all these people that you know, my mental health is affected. So it's like, you know, what are you doing if you're not even taking care of your own mental health? How are you going to put something out? So I think reminding yourself that you'll be more productive if you give yourself a break is absolutely been helpful to me. And it's been helpful to have some people in my wing that come in and say, hey, you're losing it right now, man. You need to take a breath, you know, have a beer, you know, go to a movie, something. And I have done that a little bit lately. I need to do more of it. I need to do more meditating too. I actually was just thinking about you the other day, and I'm like, you know, he talks about breath work, he talks about meditation. I got to do it.
Yeah, so powerful. And it's interesting, you know, and some of the things you said there. And I listened to Diary of Your CEO. It's an amazing podcast that's doing really well. And they interview CEOs of all these big companies from all different industries, sports stars. And a lot of them have kind of got to a place of knowing that, you know, we're supposed to work hard, right? We're supposed to, like, to be a success and to get it done, you have to work every hour you've got, and you'll look back and go, I'm glad I did that. But then a lot of them are also saying, but they weren't working very smart. It's about working smart with the time that you have. How can you maximize the time that you have in your work, especially entrepreneurs, to make the most of the time that you have to create opportunities and not just working constantly, just over and over again, and not really having a clear goal or outcome in how you need to pace that. Just kind of, it's just really, really important to know the right people and put yourself in the right places, put yourself out there, but in the right arena, not just put yourself out there generally. Actually work smart with it, so you don't have to burn yourself into the ground. And all of those people have said, you know, eventually their body just said no. It wasn't their mind necessarily. Yeah, anxiety and stuff that can be fed from the mind, but eventually their body just flopped, and they got very sick, very ill, and it just was not sustainable. I'm not just talking about physical fitness, I'm talking about, you know, your organ health and the way you're breathing, like breath work. And I think that's really important. I guess for someone like you who's so on it with, you know, your nutrition and the exercise side of it, you've managed to keeping that going. But I guess that's going to give you an added layer of stuff to do, right? So what are your thoughts on this kind of working smart over working hard?
Well, what's the expression? Work smarter, not harder. I hear that expression a lot. I agree completely. And I think, like for me, when I go into my regular job, they have a, you know, I know my duties, and I know I have a schedule, and I'm following orders essentially. So when we're doing things from home, it's very important to work smarter. And part of what I've realized about myself is that I thrive off of structure. So given that I don't, you know, have structure from somebody else like I do at my regular job, when I'm working at home, I'm actually having somebody come help me with that. I'm going to have somebody sit down and help me organize and schedule things, because we all work in different ways. I know some people that can be all over the place and be productive. For me, absolutely not. I thrive on structure. So I've had trouble with that. So I'm adding in that element. I'm going to have somebody that's good with it come in and help me plan some of that. So otherwise you do get stressed out. It sucks, man. It sucks if you have a bunch of time for something and you're getting nothing done. So I absolutely agree that you have to work smarter, not harder.
It's interesting there, because what you talk about there is all about self-awareness. It's knowing how you tick. It's how you need to function. Like I said, you need structure. Some people need it to be more loose, but it doesn't matter, as long as you know what that is and how to time manage in a way. Not time manage, as a blog will tell you. Time manage how you know, you might book better in the morning or in the evening, or there may be certain times of day where you really start to flag. You notice that, cool, that's where I'm going to inject a walk or a meditation, or just chilling out, reading a book, watching a film, going to the gym, whatever. But it's, I think that the main point to finish up on this question is that when there's a desperation or an urgency, like, shit, I need this to work by the end of next year, otherwise I won't have enough money or money's tight. As soon as you throw that in, that's no good, because you're going to be even more, just keep going. And I've learned that through the journey of doing this. This is going to take years to grow what I want, to people I want to reach. So right now I have to work full time, and it's making a really beautiful peace with that. Enjoy my job, do this and I don't need this to make money anymore. I have a job. This needs to make no money and I'll still enjoy it. So now I can sit back, take breaks when I want, do it at a pace that feels right. And I think the underlying foundation of the urgency can really affect our addiction even more to wanting to just keep going. So what are your thoughts on that? Is kind of, if we can set a safe platform so we can pay our rent, so we can have a good life, but without the holy shit, this needs to work, because that is way too much fuel.
I mean, that's a difficult one for me to answer, because I do feel like a lot of people do really well when they just go all in.
Yeah.
And but then you factor in adult responsibilities, and you know, there's a million people on social media that you'll see make these videos that talk about, you know, you have to take that leap, and if you have a safety net, you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to, and you know, a lot of people send me those videos too, and I'm like, look, it absolutely happens for some people that way, but not everybody functions in the same way. And for me, I don't even consider it a safety net. I consider it two different parts of my life. And sometimes I need a break from this kind of stuff too. So it's like, for me, it's, I can be efficient in that manner. So I do, you know, it really is a difficult question for me to answer, because I'm torn a little bit, but yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I think the key for all of it is what you're touching on too, is patience. And in that, if we put this pressure on ourselves or a timeline, especially for passion projects, we're going to let ourselves down. Like it takes time, and it, you know, things happen when they should. I'm finding that too. I'm connecting with people that I didn't a year ago, and I wouldn't have been in the same place a year ago. So it's, I believe the universe puts us on the right path, and we can ignore the signs or we can listen to them. And now that I'm really listening to them and being patient with things as much as I can, great things are happening. And I'm just thrilled about that. So.
Amazing. Thank you. What an amazing counterpoint, because you're right, because sometimes we do need to dive in, but within a sensible way. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, screw yourself over 5 years from, you know, sort of 5 months to 5 years from now by making that decision. But it's just using your self-awareness on which to know, yeah, actually, I know that I do need to dive in a bit, whereas I won't put in the effort and the work. So I think that's really important too. So it's an interesting counterpoint, isn't it? And you're right, I've done both. Sometimes jumping in was a complete disaster. Sometimes it's paid off today to what I'm doing now. And sometimes, you know, it was somewhere in between. So I know I need the foundation, because I, you know, have a kid and a partner and everything else. So I do need that money to pay that rent and all that good stuff. But also it's important to put time into this. Maybe I sacrifice some of my leisure time to do this, but I get to hang out with someone like you, a mate of mine who's amazing. So I'm getting to have some leisure at the same time. So maybe think about that too. How can you make your work a little bit more leisurely, a little bit more fun, a little bit more social? And that's a whole other topic. But as the audience know, I do want my solo episodes, I dive into these questions for 20 minutes in a one-to-one to the audience. So I'll certainly do that. But yeah, thanks, Nick. That was great. What a great start we've had already. Right, let's dive into question two, which is, obviously this was for you as you're a big fitness guy. I really want to get fitter, but I'm not sure what to do and how. So we're not here to give them a training or exercise regimen or anything like that. But it's kind of these people that know they need to do something, but they don't know how to begin or what they should do. Or so what are your thoughts on the mentality around how to make a sustainable, healthier lifestyle?
Well, first, I'll definitely say this. When people get into fitness, there's this urge to go out and buy supplementation and hire a personal trainer and go all in. That's not necessary. And I think generally you set yourself up for failure. Baby steps, and just even if you go for a walk, it's amazing what that can turn into, because it is overwhelming. If you just go to a gym, and it is overwhelming for people, unfortunately. And another thing I'll say, and I think this is every gym I've ever been to, you can ask questions. Now, I'm not talking about personal trainers because they're going to try to sell you some plan for $1 million. People that work out, in my experience, are amazing and helpful and nice. Even the big, like, I work out with big bodybuilders that look like they could rip my arms off, but nicest people in the world. Literally, they love sharing what's worked for them. They love showing technique. So you can approach people in a gym. Also, there's a giant amount of information online for free. But first step, if you're really just trying to get into it a little bit, add in something small every day or 5 days a week. Go for a 20-minute walk or jog and then add to it. Don't think that you have to be a professional bodybuilder in a week. I think that you're setting yourself up for something that's not sustainable. You can slowly incorporate that stuff into your life. And honestly, if you're like me or anybody I know, you'll get addicted to it, and then you'll get more into it and want more knowledge about it. And then you can start exploring other things. But start by just getting up and going. Take a jog, take a walk. Those little things, it's amazing what it will do for you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you said that about, you know, starting small and just doing basic daily, more movement in a day. And, you know, it's classic. They say this all the time now. This is, you know, that's how you sort of get the ball rolling. But, you know, for me, as my years of being a PT, seeing the people I was working with and, you know, would they or would they not do their workouts at home when I wasn't there? You know, it's all good me turning up and them smashing it. But they're not doing anything for a week or two, and so they see me again. It's not consistent and what we need to be. But I think so many people do that. And I think a lot of it's like passion related too. You know, do you have a general interest in, like you said, learning about the body or learning about nutrition or learning about how your muscles work and learning different techniques for different rep sets? And, you know, if you can really get into that, there'll be no stopping you. You know, it's like your new amazing passion project. But there has to be this underlying love to want to do it. So it's easy just to hit the gym and do whatever. But, you know, maybe you might like tennis, or you might want to start doing some track, or maybe the Ironman competition coming up might be something of interest to you, or doing a half marathon. Or, but it has to be a passion. Otherwise, you're just simply not going to do it. Just to do it because you have to means you have to allot time in your life that you may not have, replace it with this thing that you kind of have to do, I guess. You're just not going to bloody do it. Not most of the time. So what are your thoughts on that? It's kind of like finding like this deep love.
That's a really good point too. You can do, I think we, especially for people that haven't worked out, before I worked out, I associated like fitness with something that was going to be a drag. You can do all kinds of stuff and get in good shape. You don't need to lift weights. You can go swimming. You can jump on a bike. Look for something fun. There are groups that do things that doesn't even feel like you're working out. You're just out being physical, hiking, you know. You don't have to limit it to the small space of gym and weights. There are a lot of activities that will change the way your body works and change the way you feel inside that are fun. So that's an excellent point that we shouldn't limit it, you know.
Definitely. And, you know, you have that added element of the once you start to notice the effects, and like they often talk about, but it's kind of like looking at all the effects. So, you know, so much of the adaptation of when we get fit and healthy comes in the rest and the recovery and the resetting. That's where, you know, we're getting the gains, and that can be mental, emotional, and obviously then gut health, and obviously the physical body too. You know, if you start to notice a shift, it's really wonderful. You're like, wow, you know, I'm feeling on so many levels more present and more mobile. I'm more awake. I'm more alert. I'm not lethargic. You know, if you can really hook into all of that post in between stuff, then mm-hmm. You're onto a winner, because you're going to want to do it again so you can sustain this good feeling. Because as soon as you feel flat, lethargic and blah, and mentally just you're just overthinking everything, you just feel flat, you really start to notice the difference for when you do and do not have it. So it's really tapping into the 24-hour cycle of this beautiful health journey.
Well said.
Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, this takes me back to 10 years ago when I started in the industry. It was all about the fitness stuff. So that's really lovely. Amazing stuff, mate. This is awesome. So we've got one question left, so we'll squeeze this one in, which is, I have dark thoughts sometimes and it scares me. How can I make it stop? Now, obviously, I apply this to you because you're on the show before talking about the suicide journey of your life and all the people that you've met along the way in that. Obviously, this is a huge topic and we probably need an hour to do it, but we'll just touch on it a little bit. And what was really interesting about that question, and what you think, is they're having dark thoughts and it scares them. Now, they said, how can I make it stop? The problem is we don't really have control over what our mind does. We can't control what flows in at any time. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, when you were in those kind of places, you can't manipulate thoughts. They come in and you have to deal with them as they arise. What was your experience with that?
Well, my experience initially was I did what you shouldn't do, and that's holding everything in. I think to answer the question in a simple way, to get those thoughts to stop, as Owen just said, you can't make them stop. But what you can do is process them. And the way you do that is by voicing them. So you have to get things out. You have to talk. I've talked about that a lot on Mind Muscle Pro, is the importance of voicing what's inside of us. Because if we don't, and it, as men especially, we have this stigma around, oh, we're not supposed to talk about our feelings. Talk about it, and you'll absolutely find that's the only way I've ever found peace. Ultimately, getting things out, releasing it, and processing it. Because if you don't, you know, it's going to remain.
Yeah, it's kind of you in the ring. You know, these thoughts keep coming into the ring. It's just sort of box analogy, I mean, and they just keep flowing in, but there's no one in the audience. There's no one there to support you or get you through these times, just you against your thoughts. And yeah, there's no cheerleaders pushing you through or giving you a hug or telling you it's going to be all right. And even if you can just get it out of the ring, so just, you know, writing it down or saying your thoughts out loud onto a recorder or just anything where you can maybe even look at the words afterwards. So you have the thought, you write it down. And then the next day, if you're feeling better, you look at you read it and go, wow, okay, I'm witnessing me yesterday. Wow, look at these thoughts that are coming in. I can see that. That's crazy. I don't feel like that now, today. Interesting, isn't it, how we don't have the same thought today, because it's always changing. But it's kind of like you said, this combination of being seen, heard, and understood and held, but also being able to witness the thoughts rather than being who we are. You know, I have negative thoughts, it makes me who I am. I'm worthless, I'm a piece of shit, I don't deserve to be here. You've identified with it, you're making it part of who you are. It's your identity. We need to be able to step back and say, this is noise, this is music, this is words. It feels really real and it feels really true, but I see it. It's like a song and I can work with it and go along with it, but not believe it. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, that was really well said. And I think you're absolutely right. But also, one of the things that they told me, and I've been on and off to therapy over the years in different sorts of therapy, is the importance of writing things down. That's another really good point, because we do, you know, my mindset today is different than it's going to be tomorrow. I might feel like everything is just doomed and have a real, you know, just cynical outlook on life. And then tomorrow I might wake up and I might feel refreshed and good. And I think by journaling and writing things down, we're able to see that's a process. It's not, like you said, it's not us. It's something that we're going through, and we're not always going to be happy. I think when we talk about mental health, especially, we think that there's this part of it that if I'm really mentally healthy, I'm just going to be happy and I'm not going to have negative thoughts. And that's not true for anybody, and it never will be. It's unrealistic. I was pissed off before we started this because of my internet. I mean, and now I'm in a great mood, and I was able to take a few breaths, and you know, we move forward. But yeah, I think you said it perfectly, man. I really do.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I think it's this sense of, right, Rick Hansen talks about letting in the good. So, you know, life can suck, right? And there's a lot of suffering involved and it's hard, you know, politically outside of us, within our internal experience, our own life, it can be rough. And we have to acknowledge the negative stuff and hold a space for it and be there for ourselves. But also we've still got letting the good, man, the good stuff. You might be laughing at a bit of a film, or you might have had a good rep, you know, a good session at the gym, or you saw this really cool, like, crazy ass squirrel in the park when you're walking in for a walk, or your little one makes you laugh. Or we just have to let in all the good stuff that's happening to us, just to balance out a bit, because your brain will get retrained over time. The more you focus on letting in the good, the more your neural pathways will shift and change, and you'll rewire your brain. So let the negative unfold as it needs to and be with it, but let in the good. Just keep filling you up a little bit, even if it's a few minutes a day. It's not daily practice as such. It's just like, oh, that was a cool moment. Hold on to that. So you're getting a nice cocktail for your brain. So it just has a little bit of balance, because otherwise you're just going to tip towards the darker tone, and then nothing seems right. Oh, everything's crap. Even that good moment could have been better. It was all right, but it wasn't great.
Easy to get stuck in that space too. It's you know, I've had that experience when I was younger. And a lot of the reason that my depression, you know, progressed and got so bad was because I didn't focus on anything except the bad. And you're right, you have to retrain yourself. And I, you know, I'm not like a church going guy, but one of the things that I do is I pray at night. And the only thing I pray about is what I'm thankful for. And it's really good to just kind of take an inventory of the good things in your life. And I like to do it at the end of the day, because that's when my mind tends to stress. So it's, you know, you don't have to be like religious, you know. I consider myself spiritual, you know, for whatever that is, but I'm very connected with something else. And just voicing stuff at the end of my day, just saying, you know what, I have a great job. I have an amazing son. I have an amazing job, you know, friends. I have reminding ourselves of the positives. You know, I do it out loud. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. I could be walking down the street and be like, you know, I have some good shit going on in my life. It's important. It's important.
Beautifully said, man. What a nice way to wrap up today's show. It's really lovely, this sense of, yeah, letting in the good. And that applies to kind of all three of the topics we covered today. But thank you, audience, for those questions, because so many of them were fitting for you and me to talk about here today. So I appreciate people kind of knowing what's coming up and the kind of guest host we'll have. But I've absolutely loved this first opportunity to sit down with you again and have you as a co-hosting peer. You know, when we first met, you were on the show for the first time podcasting, then we did some coaching together where I was helping you through, and now I feel like we're peers in this industry and we're co-hosts. So I want to thank you so much for being part of your first episode. I'm looking forward to seeing you in the new year.
Well, I appreciate you, man. And listen, you got to be on our show, man. So let's schedule that. I have somebody this week that's coming actually to help me set all that up, and we'd love to have you. And you know,
thanks so much. No, I absolutely love that. You know, I love going on the people shows. It's always really fun being sitting the other side of the seat. So that would be amazing. But I encourage everybody to go and check out your Mind Muscle Pro. It's amazing what you're doing. Go on to Instagram, everybody, check it out, follow links in the description. But thank you, Nicholas, and I look forward to speaking with you again in our next episode together.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's show. And if you have any questions, head over to Instagram, find the latest post, pop a question in the comments, and me and a guest host will dive in. I think there's about 8 guest hosts now. I've built up quite the army of amazing human beings, and they're all rotating in and out. So I really hope you're finding your favorites and you're always going to tune in. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.